Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can follow me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, at Misto Cristofo. Chris, say hello to the people.
Hello, people. Not recording at Jags practice.
Yeah, today we are not reporting from Jags practice. They actually have the day off. I unfortunately can't make it out there this week with a lot of work popping up, but we have news to bring anyway. I'm sure you guys have already been caught up on it, but we're going to give our analysis. Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler have both been suspended by the Jacksonville Jaguars for a week for practice conduct that is quote-unquote unbecoming of a Jaguar, that coming from the PR department in their official release. Yesterday, during practice, there were a couple of fights that broke out between Dante Fowler and a couple teammates. The first report was that it started with James O'Shaughnessy during team drills, and later on, the storyline one was between position teammates in Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue. Now, a little bit of background here, I'm sure you already know, but we're going to give it anyway. Fowler was the third overall pick in 2015 to be the Jaguars' like star pass rusher at wide defensive end. He then missed the year with an ACL injury just in his first practice as a Jaguar, tore his ACL. Very unfortunate, missed the whole year. The team needed to find an insurance plan. They drafted in the third round of the next year Yannick Ngakoue, pass rushing specialist out of Maryland. It took 1 week into the 2016 regular season for Ngakoue to take Fowler's starting job. I'm sure since then there has been some beef between the two. The rumor has it is that they've never been particularly close. Yesterday, they started fighting out on the practice field. Who knows what exactly started the argument, but you can see Yannick being pushed away and then come back and chase to argue a little bit more. Then apparently, when the team went to the locker room before they got into the tunnel, they started mouthing off at each other once again and had to be broken up. So that, all the fighting, obviously, is what gets Fowler. Ramsey was there to break up the fight. Now, when he broke up the fight, he saw the media was recording the fight to post the video of, and he came over and yelled at them. Chris, do you remember exactly what Ramsey had to say?
It was just basically along the lines of turn it off and some expletives that I can't say on the air thrown in between.
So. Not good. Definitely not a good look for Fowler, obviously, as he's already dealing with a one-game suspension this year. Isn't a contract year. The team declined his option. Not a good look for Ramsey either. And rather than being apologetic at the after the video came out of Ramsey saying that, Ramsey then doubled down on his take. The tweet is still up from 17 hours ago after he was suspended for the tweet, directly tagging the media member, Philip Heilman from the Florida Times Union. He says, "Philip, you know what you done messed up, right? LOL, if y'all want war, we got some for y'all. And I know the rest of y'all, you know who you are. Go and read this too, so just know, lame-ass reporters." That's not a good look at all, especially considering he doubled down. He's kept the tweet up. He's obviously not very apologetic for this. We love Ramsey. Ramsey's an all-star, but he really needs to grow up. We'll get into a little bit more with Ramsey, but we'll start off with Fowler. Chris, this is really, I guess, just to be expected of Fowler at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, just the one funny note that I've seen on that video was people noting how Jan was able to shed the guy that was holding him back in Dante. So that's an indication of on and off the field between the two players. That's one thing that you can note. But really, no, I wasn't surprised when I saw that Fowler was involved. I was like, oh, well, here we go again. And I really take these fights with like a grain of salt because football is competitive. It's a competitive team, especially when both sides are good. You're going to have scuffles. You're going to have people that rub each other the wrong way. If you get blocked too hard or if you're just dominating the guy in front of you for 2.5 hours in the Florida blazing heat, you're going to get frustrated. So I didn't really think anything of this incident. I thought I was going to die. And then when Ramsey took to Twitter, that's what took it to the whole another level and had consequences. I think if it never went to Twitter, I don't think really anything happens. But then I think with the video getting as much light as it did, management and the upper level staff of the Jaguars had to make a statement, and so they suspended Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler for the week.
And like we said, this isn't really anything to be not expected when it comes to Fowler. He has a troubled past. I don't think he's going to be sticking around much longer after this year, which we will talk about in a later segment. But yeah, I think this is probably the best way they could have gone about it. If you look at the positive side of things, neither player is going to risk getting injured this week. And it's their joint practices with a very good team in the Minnesota Vikings, as well as obviously preseason action, which is, as we've seen across the league, in particular the Washington Redskins, who now have not one, not two, but three players out for the year after their first preseason game. Really, the last thing we need is a player, at least like Ramsey, to get injured.
Yeah, I mean, availability is the best ability, as Marone always preaches. But I mean, I tweeted out earlier this week that Thielen and Diggs versus Ramsey and Boye would be a kind of a fun show for a quarter or two, and then that kind of aged poorly. So, but still, I think this might actually be a really good thing. One, Ramsey hopefully doesn't get hurt in his week off. We've seen crazy off the field injuries, but this more than likely guarantees another injury-free week for the Jags' best cornerback. I know some people argue that Boye is, but I'm still Team Ramsey. But this might really help the backup cornerback battle, as you'll have Boye going against either Diggs or Thielen, and then you're going to have somebody have to come up and go against the other. So is that Patman going against Diggs or Thielen, or maybe Meeks and... Herndon's been kind of rising, but I don't think he would get starter reps, but really probably Patman, Hayden, just kind of seeing how those guys do against those star receivers out in Minnesota. So that might be probably something to really focus on. Don't focus on the negatives, but kind of focus on the positives and the opportunity that's arising for these younger or these guys lower on the depth chart.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that's something we can get into a little bit more when we break down each player's role in this and kind of a look into their future with that, which we're going to do in our next two segments, starting with Ramsey when we come back. So with Jalen Ramsey, I mean, there's not a ton to worry about with him because he doesn't have the checkered past much like Fowler does. Ramsey's known for being a mouthy dude, kind of a sassy dude that people get annoyed with. So this is, if anything, just another annoyance, not as much a we should be worried about him. At the same time, he's entering his third year in the NFL as one of the best players, one of the most well-known players in the league. I think this is kind of that turning point where it's like, okay, you need to grow up a little bit. Do you agree?
Yeah, there's been some things that I think Ramsey could develop more. I don't think he's ever going to stop talking. Maybe like when he's like just a pro or not an all pro, like when he's like a 10-year vet, maybe those guys kind of simmer down a little bit. They still chalk, but they kind of just dial it back a little bit. I don't think Ramsey's doing that anytime soon. There's still some maturity things for a lot of these young guys. Ramsey's only going into his third year. Second last year was when he was really considered like a full-time starter. So he's going into this year, knows that the league knows that he's one of the best, if not the best in the game, but still has a little bit of growing to do, but not as much as Fowler has to. That and Jalen can really kind of back his up. You kind of get a little more leeway on the punishment rope when you're a superstar at your position, and people don't want to believe that, but it's true. So... yes, I would like to see some growth from Ramsey, but I'm also kind of in that same thing that if as long as he doesn't get suspended and stuff like that, then keep doing your thing and don't change.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's going to be one of those guys that's mouthy throughout the rest of his career. That's not going to stop. It never stopped with Steve Smith, and Steve Smith is likely going to end up being a Hall of Famer, and he's one of the better known receivers there is. And we saw even when he got past that 10-year vet, like, you'd think someone like him would quiet down, but he did not do any such thing. And I think Ramsey is similar. He'll be like that. At the same time, I view this as, like, you do have to have a respect for jobs around football that isn't just the player. And I think the media is a big part of that. Philip didn't do anything wrong yesterday. There were people calling for Philip to get fired because he recorded it, because he's coming in between. He's being unprofessional and coming in between the team, which is a load of BS at this point. I think most people with common sense understand that. But that's the thing, is that there is a respect level from the media to the players. Some of them, not so much. We've seen that with guys, an unnamed media member who isn't in Jacksonville anymore. But at the same time, there is that respect level from the media. They also have to do their jobs. So this is the type of thing that you want to see Ramsey cut back on and not mouth off about and double down on Twitter going forward.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I personally don't condone going at journalists, because Philip was doing his job. If we were out there, we probably would have been recording too. I'm glad that Philip never really came out and, like, I guess...
Said anything
back to Ramsey. That's obviously the professional part on Philip's behalf. I don't condone Ramsey saying what he did. But, I mean, if you kind of want to look at a positive thing, at least the team has Ramsey's back. Well, like teammates, at least you can see that they're kind of meshing. But, I mean, it's just kind of a... At least this isn't the regular season. We could be grateful for that, that Ramsey's not missing anything that matters. Yes, it's good to get kind of reps against other teams and stuff in the preseason, but we know that Ramsey, come week one against OBJ, he'll be completely ready to shut OBJ down. So, I mean, that's all I really have left on the topic, is it sucks, but I'm sure it probably won't happen again.
Yeah, I think this will stop going forward. I think Ramsey will learn his lesson from this, because although he's not the type to normally back down, like, there is a professionalism level. He's never been hit with punishment really from the team itself. Rather, when he's faced punishment in the past, the team has taken, like, has stood up for him, that being when he was kicked out of the Cincinnati game this past year. Even Marone kind of alluded to it as, like, we're not really sure why he was kicked out of the rest of that game. So this is like a slap on the wrist. Yeah, exactly. He shouldn't have been. So this is a slap on the wrist for him, and hopefully it kind of sets him straight, knowing not to do that going forward. Now, on the other side of it, we have Dante Fowler, who has had multiple slaps on the wrists. Maybe even a spanking. I probably shouldn't have said that, but we're making jokes here. So we're going to talk about his future with the team when we come back. Like we said before, Dante Fowler has a checkered past. He has been in trouble before. He literally has a one-game suspension that came out a couple of weeks ago already, on top of this now one-week suspension throughout the preseason. He's been arrested for simple battery and criminal mischief. He's had an abundance of speeding tickets that have been called out in the past. When he got arrested last year, it highlighted a case where apparently he hit an officer in Miami like 2 years beforehand. That didn't really gain too much traction, but that did come out in a legal report after his arrest last year. He's been mouthy. He's been hit with a lot of penalties in the past for unsportsmanlike conduct, which he just seems to have grown from. It was much more of his first actual year playing that we saw a lot of that. We've seen stuff on Instagram that's been highly questionable in the past, with videos posted to his story, and that happened once again last night when he posted a video of him driving after the suspension got hit to a song called Mercy With Doubt by Young Nudie. It's a rapper. It's pretty highly explicit that I'm not going to read the lyrics, but it pretty much gets the point across that he thinks everyone's hating on him and doubts him, and they see his money and stuff like that, and people hate on him and doubt him for it. And it wasn't really the best look for him to put on his story after this all happening, especially when he's still a relatively unproven player in comparison to what his draft stock was, and the fact that he's literally always in trouble and is in a contract year. So too long, didn't read, is what I'm trying to say here, is that I don't really think he's got the greatest future ahead of him in Jacksonville. Chris, would you agree with that?
I think the Jags not picking up his fifth-year option, and then barring a superstar season, basically kind of wrote it out, at least, that Fowler's time in Jacksonville will probably be over this season, whether it be this offseason or cut even or traded. I don't think Fowler's staying in Jacksonville beyond the 2018-2019 season. And I think people have been seeing that for a while. His career got off to a rough start with the ACL tear in his first minicamp practice. That was rough. Who knows if that maybe plays a factor in everything through butterfly effect and stuff like that. But it's unfortunate when you spend a third overall pick on a guy and they kind of just don't pan out the way you want it to. Because Fowler coming out, he did kind of have the raw traits to become a really good edge rusher. And he just, I don't know if it's just him not putting the work in the offseason to get better, because we saw that he had this entire offseason, plus pup, to come back maybe with some crafted tools, and on the first day of practice, he still has the same fail spin move into Will Poles. So obviously, because, I mean, if you look at guys like Jan, who was drafted in the third round, who eventually took Fowler's spot, he learned pass rush moves from Von Miller, who's one of the best pass rushers in the game, that kind of bull rush and then pull off that I was able to get on Parnell, that video where he just kind of bull rushes and then he kind of pulls back and drops the O-lineman. That's something that Yannick didn't have in his repertoire last year. Jan kind of just had that straight bend around the edge because he can and get the strip sack in the back. And I kind of wanted to see Jan utilize something that can get him inside the tackle. And it looks like he might have something. So that's that thing that I think that's the initiative that Fowler, I can't say here because I don't know what Fowler does in the offseason, but just from the tape and what I've seen so far, it doesn't look like Fowler has taken that initiative at all to perfect his craft, add moves to his arsenal. He just has that same kind of spin move and just tries to utilize raw speed and talent to try getting around offensive tackles when in college that worked. But in the NFL, that's definitely not going to work against some of the best offensive linemen in the world.
Well, that and also, and a lot of people dismiss this because maybe they just don't have as higher of an understanding of how defenses are schemed. And that's totally fine. Like, I don't want to ask everyone to completely understand a defense. Like, the fans are fans of football, not fans of X's and O's always. But when you go back and watch a lot of Fowler's sacks that he has 12 in 2 years, 8 last year, 4 the year before. A lot of them were schemed. A lot of them were created for him to utilize that speed because he doesn't have the arsenal of moves to do things on his own. That's why guys like Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell when he moves inside, Marcel Darius, Avery Jones are so valuable to this team's pass rush because they provide so much room for guys like Fowler or Ngakoue if he's stunting, which he doesn't need to do because he's got an arsenal of moves that he can actually use and is a good pure pass rusher to utilize to get home to the quarterback. Most of Fowler's sacks come on cleanups from guys doing that work on the inside and him stunting to get to the quarterback. That's why, like, it's always so impressive to watch Fowler come and, like, do his leaping sack that he does, or he can just bulldoze a quarterback and it seems like he came out of nowhere. It's because he literally was not doing anything on the outside and was moved inside to go clean up the work that Malik Jackson and company have done. And I don't think that's that valuable to give that option to, or to really hold on to a guy with this much drama like that he brings to the team, like on a big deal. In which case, I think it's totally fine to let him go, regardless of even if he has a good season this year. Because if he does, he's going to want money. This is just obviously his mindset that he's very much about him. In which case, let him go get paid. Like, I'm all for players getting paid, no matter what. Even if you're not a good player, I say you go and you make your money and let him go do that. I think the team should and will look to replace Fowler this upcoming offseason. It's a long time away, so we're not going to dive into prospects just yet. I probably will in my own time, but maybe a day two or early day three pick as Yannick insurance and be the insurance that is actually, you know, someone you can trust as well. I'm sure they'll do a lot of homework.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be ideally to just kind of get some investment back. I think me personally, and for Dante's sake, I think a team with a 3-4 defense would be best for Dante. If you can put him outside to where he doesn't have to line up directly on a offensive tackle, he doesn't have to utilize kind of that first step. Instead, he comes as like a blitzing outside linebacker in a 3-4. He already has the speed by the time he's hitting the O-line. So then that can kind of create some more momentum for himself to get around and kind of use that raw outside rush that he has. So, I mean, me personally, if I were Caldwell and if I were Dante, that's something I'd be looking for. But obviously that's not my call and they know what's doing best. So, I mean, like you said, late day two, early day three. I mean, it would be great to get early day two because I feel like you – feel like I said, in a 3-4, you could still salvage Dante and turn him into a decently good... It'd have to be a 3-4 with a coaching staff that won't accept BS. So I don't right. know, I don't know where that would be. I would have to look at the list of 3-4 defenses.
That sounds like a Pittsburgh thing. Now, I don't even know if they'd want him because Pittsburgh is one of those organizations that doesn't really like to deal with those type of guys unless you're their quarterback. But... for the most part, they're pretty stern on their players and how they act as not only players but people. So I don't know if Fowler's up their alley, but if you were looking at it in a vacuum as a place that has a strict philosophy, expects a lot of their players and doesn't deal with that kind of stuff, and at the same time utilizes a 3-4, could probably use pass rushers. Pittsburgh seems like a fit. Maybe Houston, because Houston runs a 3-4. Somewhere like that, which I'm sure the last thing people would want to do is trade a Jaguar with potential. Don't get me wrong. I think a guy that won't pan out, but has potential regardless to Houston, but teams like that.
And I think if you do trade within the division, your asking price is going to be higher because you are basically giving an enemy a tool. So
exactly.
If Dante going to Houston is the difference between getting a fourth round pick and like maybe a second or a third, then I'm for it. But
right.
Because we see how things pan out in Houston defensively. They either all get hurt or they just don't really pan out so far. But that's something that we can discuss if that day ever comes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then I figure that'll pretty much do it for this interesting episode of Locked On Jaguars. This interesting past 24 hours for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they get ready to head to Minnesota this week for joint practices and their second preseason game coming Saturday at 1:00 in Minnesota against the Vikings. Be sure to throw us a subscription on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us from right now. Leave ratings and reviews, bookmark the website lockedonjaguars.com, as well as throw Chris and myself a follow on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, @MrCristofo, and most importantly @LockedOnJaguars. We'll be doing a couple episodes this week previewing the game, trying to get a guest on from Vikings world, and we will catch up with you guys later.